What a treat. Dave Fleming is back. Dave, let me get you back here. There we go. Dave Fleming is with us, back from basketball, and you're going to do the game today. Nice to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. I just watched Posey hit a batting practice home run, so I feel like I've arrived.
Yeah, boy, have you been keeping touch with the Giants and everything that's going on?
I was just telling a couple of the Giants PR folks, Matt Chisholm, Jim Moorhead, that I sound like an old guy now, but when I first started doing this, I would show up at spring training for the first time, and I mean, I'll still do this, but I would really have to go downstairs and start asking questions, who's doing what and who's hurt and who's playing well and what are the position battles. I mean, now we're in an era where with Twitter, with the clips they send out, with all the coverage the Giants get these days, I feel like I've been here the whole time, which is a great place to be because I do feel like I haven't missed a thing.
Yeah, Twitter is amazing. I mean, I love it. I mean, you know, I'm up here, you know, I'm basically I've got beer can every once in a while to help, but it's me. So, you know, when something happens down in the clubhouse or after the game, and you know what it's like, even for you, I appreciate any time you put anything out because that's the way I find out things that are happening.
Well, even during actual regular season game broadcasts, it's such a good tool for us because I mean, we're paying attention to the game that we're broadcasting, but if the Dodgers are playing, the Padres are playing, the Mets or whoever, you know, something big happens in a game somewhere else and we get notified instantly.
Yeah.
And it helps us. We can then you don't have to be constantly looking and trying to pay attention to a news wire like you did in the old days. I mean, it really is helpful. It feels like we are on top of not just the game that we're calling, but every game out there. And I think that helps the listeners.
Well, it was a quiet camp. It was like, boy, the bullpens, Matt Cain in the bullpen, everyone looking at him, looks okay, and Vince took him through some good bullpens, and all of a sudden we saw, you know, Cordier throwing 98 miles an hour and all this stuff, the typical things you like in spring training. Then all of a sudden last Thursday, Hunter Pence was in the sixth inning. Brock was pitching for the Cubs, a high inside fastball. He throws his arm up, and you knew when he, you know, Pence, nothing bothers him. But when he sort of went down to his knees and walked to first base, and you just knew that this was not good. And it sort of has caused a little bit of a ripple in the camp, not only defensively, but offensively too.
Yeah, sounds like it. And I do think that that will make this a different final few weeks of spring training. I mean, it's still got a long way to go before the start of the regular season, so there's plenty of time to work through those issues. But it puts a little extra pressure on the manager to figure out what's our best configuration, what's our best lineup, how am I going to manage things out there. I mean, I do believe what you've been talking about and what we've been hearing from most circles, and that is that the Giants don't feel a lot of pressure to go out and make a trade. I don't think they need to do that yet. But I do think it also means if somebody else were to go down, if you have a problem in another spot, then you might be pressured to do something and find somebody outside of this camp. So it has definitely changed the feeling of spring training.
Yeah, it has. You know, we had battles on the bench. You know, would it be two catchers, three cat? You know, how would they do it? And then, of course, the outfield, Maxwell is here and Perez is here. But now the focus really has turned, and again, you're right, for these next few weeks, you got this game today. Will you be here for the Dodger game tomorrow?
I will be, yeah.
Oh, good. Aoki is the leadoff hitter.
Yeah.
And that is a distinct possibility because now Pagan, they're willing to move him down to the three spot. And he seems to like it, but that could actually happen. So it's interesting to see Aoki and what he can do.
Yeah, and look, we're only talking about maybe a month of the regular season,
hopefully,
although that's not certain, but you hope that. So it's not like the Giants can't survive that stretch of games by doing things unconventionally, but you don't want Pagan to be your third place hitter, I think, for a good chunk of the season. That's not ideal. And I think you touched upon something that is important, the bench. I don't think you would say that the Giants bench coming into this year on paper is a real strength. I mean, the Giants have a limited bench. They have some guys who can play, but not a lot of power. You're looking for versatility off the bench, some different skill sets. And this will strain that even more so. And in a National League, you know, especially when you have a catcher who you want to keep fresh, I mean, look, the Giants' task is to use their bench, and that, you know, that may be a little bit more difficult for Bochy early in the year.
Yeah, and some people aren't going to make the team that you would think would be on the team. I mean, the options are always a story. Ishikawa is certainly here. Blanco now. I mean, he's here. He would have been a bench guy. I think Perez now. In my opinion, for whatever it's worth, they like him. He's a veteran. I don't see someone knocking him off the team as a platoon guy. Adrianza doesn't have options. He's here. And then you have a catcher situation to come up with. So that became a little bit dicey.
And all those decisions, look, if Pence is fine, all those decisions, you say, well, you know, they're interesting.
Yes.
But how much are they going to impact the wins and the losses of this team? Probably not that much. Now I think you can say, well, you know, those decisions could actually be important with the Giants. I don't think the goal is to tread water in the first month of the year because it's just one guy. It's baseball. Yeah. It's just one player. But I think if you're looking to make sure that injury doesn't really send you into a bad start to the year, there is more pressure on those decisions to get the right fits.
Yeah, you know, the first month is all the West. And, of course, I think there's about 10 home games for the Giants, 13 on the road. But you have all those games, and now, of course, you have this pitching staff. And I just reviewed it just slightly. And, of course, the first 2 weeks, I don't care what they do. It doesn't matter. But, you know, you've got Vogelsong and Petit, and you've got Kane coming back. You'll see him tomorrow. I can't wait to see him against some opposition. You know, we've seen him in bullpens. But the pitching is going to be very interesting, something we have not seen before, where they can have two long guys who actually can make an impact when the season gets underway.
It will be fascinating to see how Dave Rigetti and Bruce Bochy feel about managing that situation. And they love Petit in the role he's in. But already in the spring, he's looked good.
Yes.
And you think back to last year and how he pitched. I mean, it's hard to believe he's not one of the five best starting pitchers on this team. I mean, I think Yusmeiro Petit, with the new curveball that he's got over the last year plus with the Giants, with the way Rigetti and company have helped him sort of figure out his career, Petit is a weapon. I mean, he's a valuable guy, and there will be pressure at some point, I'm guessing, to get him as many innings as possible. So that's another thing to watch.
Yeah, the other thing you'll see, and I hope you get a chance to see Lincecum a little bit before you go back. When do you go back on the road here?
Well, I'm only here for two games, and then I'll be back later in March. So I'm here just for sort of a brief interlude.
As I say, it's good to see you. We miss
you.
But Lincecum's been very interesting, too. And from his first bullpen, he's hitting the glove, let me put it to you that way. And he's throwing a lot harder early down here. Now, he's only thrown 89, 90, but it looks down here, it looks like 100 compared to other people. But his secondary stuff has been so good. If he's faced, 15 batters, he's gone two strikes on 12 of them. And that's a good sign for me because his secondary stuff can get people out. He's actually looked better than most of the starters down here.
You know, look, and I like the idea that I heard him talking, maybe it was after yesterday's appearance, about it was always a stretch for me that he was going to be a pitch-to-contact pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, the velocity has come down, and if it doesn't come back, Tim is not going to be the Cy Young winning pitcher that he was. He just did. The velocity was a huge part of that. And if he's a 90-mile-an-hour pitcher, he's not going to be the dominator that he was, period. And I think he knows that. But I also don't believe his skill set is particularly well-suited to being a Tim Hudson type.
Yeah.
I think the swings and misses, the strikeouts, are still really important for him. And whether it's the splitter, the slider, whatever it is that's getting those swings and misses, I think it's really important for him to still have that as a part of his game. And it sounds to me like at least early on the signs are encouraging.
Yeah, they are. He struck out 7 already in 3 innings, and there's 7 real strikeouts. Then, of course, he threw a high fastball to Will Myers, who hit like a laser over the right field, over the Dignity Health sign out there yesterday. Two-strike pitch, and you say, wow, this is a different Padre world. We don't see that often. Have the Padres have a guy who can take a mistake and take it out like that.
Definitely a theme of this year is how the West is being transformed.
Yeah.
And look, I think, you know, it's funny how these things work, but the Dodgers thing is kind of a different scenario because of the ownership group and the gigantic market and the potential that's sort of inherent in the Dodgers franchise. But even so, I think the fact that the Giants have won these 3 World Series has changed everybody's viewpoint in the division.
Yeah.
And they're trying to play a game of catch-up, and they're trying to do things differently. The Diamondbacks have panicked in the last 3 years. I mean, it's incredible, the roster turnover and now the personnel turnover in the front office.
Really? But look at San Diego.
San Diego now has done a complete makeover, and really the Dodgers have too.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dodgers, for all of the talk about how much money they have changed their team entirely in the last 18 months, including with the general manager.
That's right.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Giants are winning championships. And to me, that's fun. I mean, look, if you're the lead dog, if you're the team that's out there doing the winning and forcing everybody else to make adjustments, that's a feather in your cap. And I think that's what's happened in this division.
Yeah, it's good. The West is interesting because every front office is on the major changes.
Yep.
Major changes.
Yep.
And we haven't seen the Dodger, you know, Andrew Friedman, Farhan combination yet. Maybe they'll find a bullpen. Or maybe their idea is, we don't need a bullpen. You know,
yeah.
we'll do it that
way.
Well,
the Dodgers are going to be a really good team. I think unquestionably they will be a very good team.
You like Howie Kendrick and Rollins up the middle?
I do. I mean, I think that's a nice combo. D. Gordon's a good player. And
well,
Gordon,
he hurt the Giants, didn't he?
He did. And I think that the Dodgers perhaps look, his second half wasn't like his first half. I think they made the decision that his first half was a little fluky. But he's a guy with the capacity to get better and learn. You see a lot of those speed guys who take a little bit longer to develop the other tools. And I think Gordon still has a chance to have a nice, long, big league career. But Howie Kendrick's a really good player.
Yeah.
So it's not like you discarded Gordon and didn't put anybody in there. Kendrick's good. Their defense is going to be a lot better. They still have enough offense. The starting pitching will be excellent. And they have resources to make more changes. So the Dodgers are going to be a good team. And look, they were better than the Giants in the regular season last year. The Giants were just better when it really, really mattered.
Well, that's the story. But they got rid of Hanley Ramirez and Gordon, two players who annoyed the Giants. Those two gave the Giants trouble.
They did. Now, in the case of Ramirez, he also annoyed the Dodgers.
Yes,
I mean, we would hear a lot of rumblings about how unhappy pitchers were when Ramirez was playing behind him, how inferior he was defensively. To me, it's a big question for the Red Sox, not to jump over to that league, but the Red Sox have some big question marks, I think, on the pitching side, but also the combination of the pitching and the defense. You're going to just throw Hanley Ramirez out there in front of the Green Monster and say, this will work. Man, I wonder about that. So for a team that has big goals, big dreams, they're taking some risk. The Dodgers took some risk, too, in all the changes that they made. It's a contrast to the Giants, who value the stability, value the guys who have been there before and done it before. That's how the Giants do it.
Well, they played well when it counted. But I'll tell you this. Larry Bear was on with me yesterday. He says, well, these guys know how to win in October. They did that. They didn't. No one thought they knew how to win until they started winning in October, then said, oh, yeah, they know how to win in October.
Yeah.
That October was no gimme. That World Series was unbelievable.
Absolutely no gimme. I think the thing that the Giants have that has proven all three times is, number one, they have a manager who knows how to manage those series. And not everybody has that. And so in baseball, the manager, how much does the manager do during the regular season? He means something. The bullpen management is something. Playing time, who gets the at-bats, managing the roster, all those kind of things. You know, worth a couple wins if you have a really good manager, maybe. But mostly it's your players in the regular season.
Point.
Totally changes in the playoffs where every decision means it's not 162 games. One game makes the difference, and that's where the Giants get a huge edge.
Yeah.
And then all three times they've had ace-like pitching performances.
And
so you have one stud at the top of the rotation, or two in some instances, and a bullpen and a good manager, and you're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, the bullpen is like the second stud, really. And Bumgarner was great, but we've had others in the past. But the bullpen was amazing. But you're right. I thought about this. And when you manage in the playoffs, you must win the game.
Yeah.
You must win that game. There is no tomorrow. You must win. I don't care if it's the first game, third game, fifth game. You must win that game.
Posey even talked about something that I think is a good example of that. The Giants in 2012 were up 3-0 on Detroit. Yeah. But if Miguel Cabrera hits a home run against Romo, ties the game, go to extra innings, Giants lose. This giant rainstorm is coming in.
Yeah.
If they sit around for 2 days, it's 3-1. Giants are still in a good position. Tigers get all their pitching lined up, ready to go. You face Verlander again or Sanchez again or whoever it would have been, and you go down, or you're ahead 3-2. Tigers manage to win another game. You got to fly home.
No question.
You just never know how that can play out. And it was not impossible for the Tigers to come back and win that series. And that's why Bochy, it was 3-0. For him, it was an elimination game. Win tonight, get it over with.
Boy, very well said. Just a little baseball history. I know you enjoy it. 1951, Giants and Yankees. Giants were coming back in that series. Rain out. Yankees got to reset the rotation. That was the end of the Giants in 51. And I learned it in 66 with the Orioles and the Dodgers. Orioles were up 3-0. And they won that fourth game. I said, if they don't win this game, you got Koufax the next day, you got Osteen the next day, and then Drysdale coming back. You got trouble.
I mean, even look, the Giants probably weren't going to win in 1989, but even that World Series, you know, it made it an inevitability when the A's could reset things already up two games to none.
Yeah.
That took away, I think, the Giants' hope in that, okay, Dave Stewart's going to be something else. We got to get to somebody else. Even that series, I think, is an example of that.
Yeah, and go back to 62 with all the rain here with the Yankees and Giants. Hey, great to see you. It's a pleasure to have
you
here.
Fun to be here.
Yeah, pleasure to have you here. You have a great call today, and then you're here tomorrow, and we'll see you back when you come up here.
How's Daniel Carbonell? I'm looking at him standing around the batting cage.
He hit a shot yesterday, and, you know, again, he's a guy who needs playing time, did well at San Jose.
Got some tools?
Yeah, they get him in late in the game, and, you know, looks like a kid you want to see play. Cody Hall, I have him on today. What do you see him pitch?
Well, I am looking forward to that. I think we might see Okert today.
Okert's another. Wait, you see Okert's another Joe Sambito. He's got that little crazy left-handed delivery.
Good stuff. Hides the ball.
Very much so.
I think the Giants have been really good. And look, it takes a lot of misses to get some hits when you're talking about minor league relief pitchers, because a lot of them don't pan out. But the Giants have been good at finding those kind of play. That has been a hidden reason for the Giants' success.
Yeah.
They developed some stars. They've also developed role players where you don't have to go out and make trades to plug some holes. So we'll see.
Crick's another one. Crick was excellent.
Heard he looked great,
against Texas. And,
the stuff is there. The body's there. It's all there. It's just getting it to come together.
You're back.
I'm back.
Come on, it's baseball. You're back. I'm glad to see you, David. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You
for
kept your
by.
Followers count up. After
I'm over 25,000.
Okay.
You saved me there.
I looked, and then all of a sudden you were back down below.
We're 25-2 now. I'm going to catch Alex Pavlovich. I told him I'm going to get him.
A little competition,
yeah, absolutely.
Huh? Springtime competition.
Absolutely.
Who's going to win the final spot of the bullpen? Who's going to have more Twitter followers?
Right. It's easier to figure out the Twitter followers,
yeah,
I'll tell
no
you
kidding.
That. All right, Dave, thanks so much. More coming up here on the Sports Leader.